to Think Like the Enemy, the podcast where we challenge the conventional wisdom and explore alternative viewpoints on the world's most pressing issues. Your host is Frankie Aviles, and every week he'll be joined by a guest commentator to debate the pros and cons of some of the most controversial and consequential policies and actions in history. Even if history is today.
Is today.
From climate change to human rights. From trade wars to cyber attacks. And from democracy to authoritarianism. We'll try to understand the logic, motivations, and implications of the different sides of the argument. Whether you're curious about the complexity and diversity of global politics, or you want to broaden your perspective and critical thinking, this podcast is for you. So tune in and get ready to think like the enemy.
What's up, everybody? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. From wherever you're watching us, thank you for being here with us in another episode of Think Like the Enemy. Today we're going to talk about the actual attack in Russia at the mall in Moscow. We're going to have a couple things that have come out when it comes to this particular piece of information. And then on top of that, we're going to talk about the one thing that a lot of people should be paying attention to, geopolitically speaking, today. When it comes to our world. Because today in the UN, something happened that has never happened before in the history of the United Nations. Today we have that the actual United Nations submitted an actual resolution for ceasefire. And you can only imagine who it is pertaining to. But in efforts to understand that a little bit more, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more in depth. So, stay tuned. Like, share, comment, and subscribe. If you like this type of content, let us know in the comment section. And share it with your friends. Let's get into the actual podcast for today. So, we have that the actual attack that happened on Russia, when it comes to the actual mall and how it all unfolded, the idea instantly was that it was ISIS. Here's the actual information coming for you by Mario Naufal. And he names the actual people, for those of you who are watching right now, talks about the actual, you know, legal immigrant from Tajikistan. All three of them were from Tajikistan. And the idea is that they are actually ISIS sympathizers. Well, what doesn't make sense to me is the fact that last week, Russia and China were given permission by the Yemen people to actually go through the Red Sea and send their shipping right through the contested area in the shores of Yemen. On top of that, it doesn't make sense to me how all of a sudden the threat that was supposed to be completely taken out by the U.S. has actually resurged. And there was an actual interesting piece of information that came out of that, which I'm going to read to you, because it is something that we need to be paying attention to. Because in the same way that ISIS was taken out, so was the majority of Al-Qaeda leadership. But it is basically a whack-a-mole idea that we're having around the world when it comes to this particular notion. So, ABC News reports that U.S.-backed Syrian forces that defeated ISIS 5 years ago warn that the group still poses an actual threat internationally. And I have to agree with that 1,000%. And this was in Beirut. The U.S.-backed forces that defeated the ISIS state group in Syria 5 years ago warned Saturday that the extremists still pose grave danger through the world and called on the international community to find solutions for thousands of fighters still held in its jails. The statement by the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces to mark the fifth anniversary since ISIS lost the last sliver Offenses declared caliphate came hours after the group claimed responsibility for Friday's attack in Moscow that left 133 people dead. If you're interested in seeing the gruesome videos that came out of that, you can go into my feed at FrankieUSN1987 and you will find all the information that you need to see. Viewer discretion is advised. It is extremely gruesome. It is extremely sickening. If you're somebody that does not deal well with gore, you will see some things that will shock you. So viewer discretion is advised. It was very, very crude. But my thing is that automatically, Russia came out and said that it was an actually led coalition or led push by the Ukrainian government to go and do this attack. And I can understand why they will come out and say it. And honestly, I get it, because they came through the actual Ukrainian border. But my thing was, I thought about two different perspectives, right? I said, I need to see them shooting. I need to see if they actually have a military style shooting. Secondly, I need to see the kind of weapons that they had. Third, I needed to see who was going to take the actual first attribution for this attack. Those are the things that I needed to see. The other thing of piece of information that did not make any sense to me was the fact that actually Yemen came out and told them, told Russia and told China, and it is online as well, you can find it at FrankieUSN1987, that they can actually go through the Red Sea. So you can see that they're pretty much hardlining on the anti-American sentiment that everybody has been having around the world. Okay, get it. Why go and attack Russia? Those are the pieces that don't make sense. When you look at the actual videos, and I will not show them here because they are very, very crude, you see that their style of fighting is one that is not a Chechen or Chechenian-led, you know, kind of person that has trained in the military before. One of the guys actually went into a room that he shot about 20 people in there, and he literally did a 360. So you look at him, you're like, what the frick is he doing? Like, it makes no sense that he's doing that. Militaristically speaking, or from an actual, you know, combatant sense of the word, it makes no sense. It makes no sense why he would go and do that. Okay, got that. Then they go outside and they actually cut the throat of an actual Russian citizen on the floor multiple times. They start talking, and I'm like, okay, definitely these guys could potentially be ISIS, 100%, because that's kind of like their modus operandi. Okay, so who held them inside? That's what you need to know. Russia, as you know, is a communist country, and very police-heavy, police-minded security forces. They still have that ironclad mentality when it comes to their actual security, because they want to have their actual people feel secure, right? Okay, great. So now, today, about an hour ago, Mr. Mario Naufal, breaking news, dad and two sons arrested for Moscow terror attack. Let's see if we can play this video for y'all. This is a man. He is 62-year-old Israel Islomov and his two sons, Dilovar Islomov and Aminkon Islomov. For those of you who are watching right now, you can see their actual footage. They don't seem as beaten up as the other ones did. You know, as for those of you who have seen the videos, they got interrogated. Let's put it that way. That's how they were. I'm pretty sure that they were able to find these people that helped them as well. And then this is the third one, is another video of the man being arrested and being put into the holding cell. The narrative right now is that this is how they were able to actually perform what they did. And now we have on top of that, that Russia hits Odessa with ballistic missiles. Explosions reportedly rocked Odessa as Russia intensifies the assault on Ukraine, sending ballistic missiles from Crimea, causing a nationwide air alert for the second time today. I fear that the hornet's nest has been actually poked. That the bear has been actually put in a corner. And now the bear's going to start swinging. I fear that we can see a lot more push from the actual Russian president to take control of the situation in Ukraine. Since last week, he actually said that they are now at war. His expressions came right after the actual Moscow attack. He came out and said that it was Ukraine. We don't know, because as you know, their actual propaganda is very controlled and their news are very censored. But we don't know exactly where this attack came from. I understand that the president of Russia needs to do what the president of Russia needs to do, but we need to understand the actual implications of his actions in a geopolitical spectrum. When he came out and he said that this was what he was going to do, you know, we are at war, we are going to do set thing, this is what happened geopolitically. Macron has reportedly suggested Russia and France increase their cooperation on counterterrorism efforts after the Moscow terrorist attack claimed by ISIS. The Islamist threat can affect everyone at any moment. France has placed the country at the highest security threat alert, emergency attack, after the Crocus City Hall massacre in Moscow that claimed the lives of over 130 people. And this is coming from Politico. Great. It is interesting to see that President Macron has actually come out and said those words, because last week he was actually talking about sending people to Ukraine to go fight against Russia. So what has changed? What has changed is that the stance of Russia was to automatically send 26 planes up in the air with the capability of nuclear weapons to go and secure the borders, something that we do not seem to be able to do here in the United States of America, which is amazing. That's sarcasm for those of you that don't understand it, which I think is funny because people go, oh, doesn't care about it. No, I care deeply about it. So, that happened. On top of that, he understands that the posture of France needs to be one of, we need to get in everything, because that's what Macron does. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that one bit. Because he is a two-faced kind of politician to me. Well, most of them aren't, but you know, that's the argument. Well, they all are. They're just trying to get their money and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's cool, man. No problem. But actually looking into what is happening in the world, that is what I can see. He's just playing the game in a different level, in a different way. And the U.S. hasn't caught up to it. We haven't said anything, actually, the whole time that this thing happened. Not on official channels. And if we have seen it and I haven't seen it, please send it to me so I can actually talk about it. Biden has taken, you know, 439 days in the past 3 years of his presidency to actually, you know, go on vacation. That's amazing. Good for him that he's able to rest in his old senile self as best as he can. That's great. On top of that, and I'm going to put the last piece of information for you. We have that the actual UN voted. That was the one that I wanted to kind of, you know, tie a little bit more to it. Voted to actually have a ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. If you want to see the actual footage, I grabbed it from Mario Naufal again. You can see the live footage, the boats happening, the session coming to in the middle of it, the expressions of everybody that was there. Here are the boats, some from the actual boat.
Thank you, President. At the outset, I wish to express our condolences to the Russian Federation for the atrocious terrorist attack of last week. We condemn all terrorism in all its form. Malta was proud.
At least Malta said something nice about it. I'm pretty sure that the U.S. said something too, but I'm not going to sit here for 2.5 hours to look at this just to comment that the U.S. actually said something. If somebody can find it and show me, please do, because I want to comment on it. The resolution passed. That's what's happening. In a way, I can sincerely respect the position geopolitically right now and the push that we're seeing from everybody abroad. I can't. I really can't. But what I cannot clearly define and sincerely understand is the lack of understanding that every time that you start a war and every time that you go into a country and you invade it, you're actually creating a bigger issue. Let's think like the enemy for a second. Imagine that we're sitting here in America and we're being invaded by, let's say, South Americans. Your culture is changing right in front of you. Your security is changing every single second in your community. Your government seems to not give a shit about how you're going to deal with the actual threat that is in front of you. And yet again, people still fight. It could be with words. It could be with actual lethal force. Or it can just be by getting out of the way. Imagine that happening in America. And imagine how the push would be completely different. Because at the end of the day, you know, this is America, so we got laws, we got to follow them. People are going to start to become radicalized. People are going to start to think that their way of life is not only being threatened, but it is being taken away from them. Because the actual expanding opposing force that is making its way through your shores is doing that. That is the same perception that every country that we have gone into in the past has about us being there. Because they feel that we're going to actually tarnish their way of life. We're going to tarnish their ability to make money. We're going to take from them the resources that they currently have or that probably do not have to actually push the American agenda. Now flip it back into the U.S. What is happening in the U.S. today? You have people that are squatting into houses in New York City and many, many places in the U.S. And in one instance, two teenagers actually for that particular set house. They stuffed her in a suitcase and they wheeled her out. People are actually giving advice online on how you can actually come in, squat in a house, and take advantage of the American laws that are completely broken and mean nothing to them. People are getting murdered. People are getting sexually assaulted. People are getting raped. People are being targeted. That's what's happening in America today. Am I against immigration? Absolutely not. Am I against illegal immigration? 100%. You have to think of these particular immigrants that are coming in illegally, as if you were actually having a job interview. If you sit in front of the actual employer or the person that is going to help you and you tell them, I am willing to break every single law that you have here so I can get ahead in your company and I can make the best financial gain that I can possibly imaginably have. That is exactly what the illegal immigrants that are crossing the border illegally are doing to you today. Because the first thing that they do, their first impression is that they are willing to break the laws no matter what, just so they can get what they want. And now we have about 3% of the population, or 10 million, about 13 million or so, a little bit more, that are actually legal immigrants. So what are they willing to do to get ahead in the game? I'll leave you with this as something positive, just to ponder a little bit on the actual notion that we can do better. And this is something that Patrick Bet-David says and is pushing and has been pushing for a very long time in his podcast. And I am a listener and I love what he brings to the table and how he speaks, the way that he actually talks to the masses and, you know, to his viewers and his followers. The future could look brighter. And the future does look bright. Because at the end of the day, we know what is wrong right now in America. And we have the ability to change it with our vote. If you do not believe that voting is important, that is okay. That is your right as an American citizen. I, on the contrary, believe that it is important. So if you don't like what's happening in front of you, change it. Vote. Exercise your right to vote. In closing, thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. I appreciate your time. If you like the conversation, please follow, share, comment, and subscribe. And add into the actual comment section of the podcast, because we can have a conversation at any given time. I am always available. I try to stay up as far as I can so I can actually engage with people. And if you want to do it in an actual social media site, you can follow me on X at FrankieUSN1987. You can also find me at TLTE_podcast on X, YouTube, Rumble, and you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on TikTok. I'm pretty much everywhere, man. Same thing with at FrankieUSN1987 on Truth Social. Thanks for watching. Thanks for following. Like, share, comment, and subscribe. I appreciate it. And this is something that I wanted to actually show you. We actually have gear now. So if you want to buy some of our gear, soon we will give you the actual link so you can find the gear. And an introductory price, we're going to give out some codes to some of the followers that are actually doing it, and we're going to do it in the podcast. So if you're here so far, now you know that we're going to give you actual discounts for you to get the gear. And also, to support the channel, we need as many resources as possible to keep and continue doing what we're doing. It has been a pleasure. It has been a privilege. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. And remember to always think like the enemy. See you in the next time.
That's it for this episode of Think Like the Enemy. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion and gained new insights and perspectives on today's issue. If you did, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform and share this episode with your friends. You can also follow us on social media and send us your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future topics. Thank you for listening. And remember, the best way to understand the world is to think like the enemy. Until next time, Frankie A. Viles, signing off.